I'm Brian Myers.
I'm Mike Ritalik.
I'm Becky Haddad.
And this is Ow Pellets, a podcast featuring tips for ag teachers. We are your agricultural education resource across the web, sharing research-based tips and tackling the tough questions facing agriculture teachers every day.
Hello and welcome to Ow Pellets, Tips for Ag Teachers. This is Brian, Becky, and Mike, and we are here by the Ow Pellet. And once again, we have gathered a King Arthur's Round Table of experts in ag ed. I was not going to use Harry Potter because some people were giving me a hard time about some apparently new spectacles that I have that some people say that I look like Harry Potter now. But that's okay because I will hang out with better friends.
No. We did not say don't flatter yourself, Brian. You don't look like Harry Potter. Your glasses do.
Ouch.
Harsh.
And folks, right there is why this is an audio-only podcast, and you don't make you look at us. But
you
we
can't
are excited
handle the
to
truth.
I know you can't handle the truth. I hear you. But we are excited to have a couple of friends with us here. Jade Davidson and Jason Peek, welcome to Ow Pellets.
Hey, thanks so much, Brian. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, it's good to be here. Thank you.
Well, she said that with a little bit of trepidation. She's like, it's good to be here, like a hostage situation. Like, blink twice if you need help.
No, I'm worried my internet is going to cut out again. It usually doesn't do this in the morning, so I'm concerned.
Oh, you're awesome.
Because of all of the green room action we had before we hit the record button, she should be nervous.
She should be very nervous. Be afraid. But Jade, why don't you get us kicked off? Introduce yourselves to all of us, if you would, please.
Yeah, well, thank you. It's really great to be here. As Dr. Meyer said, my name is Jade. I'm a recent graduate of the University of Georgia. I did my master's and my PhD there for the past 3.5 years, and I actually just moved to Oregon. So what you didn't hear is that we had an ice storm, and pretty much all of Oregon is frozen over right now. So, and I think today we're going to be talking about school gardens and specifically how school gardens were utilized in elementary agriculture education classrooms in Georgia, a topic that's pretty near and dear to my heart.
Fantastic. And I see you brought with you a outstanding cohort here, partner, and Jason Peek. Jason, welcome to Ow Pellets. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, thanks so much for having me, and good to see you again. My name's Jason Peek. I'm actually a native of Kentucky. Grew up there on a diversified farm. Was an ag teacher in Florida for about 4 years, and then out to Texas for a PhD. And I've been working at the University of Georgia in teacher preparation, agricultural education for the past 20 years. And Jade kind of came to me, kind of a different background. She has a nutrition and dietetics background, but very, very knowledgeable in an area where I was very, very weak. So I heavily recruited her to help me with the elementary ag ed program in Georgia as it was just getting started. And yeah, we've been working together now for about 4 years on it. It's been great.
Now, for those who may be unfamiliar, tell us a little bit about an elementary ag ed program. That does not exist in states that I have been involved with ag ed in.
Yeah, I'm glad to. And, you know, informally, there have been a lot of elementary ag ed programs. They've just been really simplified and non-formal. And so a lot of times it's just an elementary teacher who has a school garden. And that's pretty common. A lot of states have that. It lacked structure, it lacked state standards, recognition by the State Department of Education. And then with Ag in the Classroom, we saw it become a little bit more formal. In Georgia, that's facilitated through the Georgia Farm Bureau, but in different states, Ag in the Classroom can be implemented in different ways. So what Georgia did in 2017 that was kind of different is, and it actually came through our legislation, and it was a Senate bill. Oddly, it did not come from the House, but it came through the Senate, and they passed a resolution to create an elementary agricultural education formal program that would be facilitated through the Georgia Department of Education. And so with that came all the other things that come along, like the development of state standards, recognition of full-time elementary ag ed teachers. So not just a fifth grade teacher who has a raised bed, but actually elementary ag ed teachers who are the full-time, that's what they do. They're the full-time ag teacher at the elementary school. That pilot program ran for 3 years. Recently, it was converted to a permanent program. We have about 40 elementary ag ed teachers in the state, and we have our standards up. We're up and running. Jade and I have been delivering professional development to those teachers for the last 3 years. So it's up and running. We're still very, very early in this, but it's growing.
And I did actually want to jump in real quick. Dr. Pete gave that perfect segue for agriculture in the classroom. The reason I moved to Oregon was to actually become the executive director of Oregon Agriculture in the Classroom Foundation. Dr. Peake mentioned a little bit of the difference, and to be honest, I'm not quite familiar with it myself because each state really does do it so differently. But here in Oregon, Ag in the Classroom operates as a nonprofit. So primarily I do a lot of fundraising for the program. And then we also have a program coordinator manager who helps disseminate basically what we did in Georgia.
I'll also recant my ignorant statement of not being familiar with that in other states, because I think often we think about this as saying, oh, well, we know what high school ag program looks like or a middle school ag program looks like. And we say, well, it doesn't look like this in the elementary, but of course not. They're elementary students. And there are so many ways that ag ed comes in elementary. So thanks for sharing that.
Yeah. And Becky, I don't know that anybody really knows what elementary ag ed should look like. We're trying to figure that out. That's a lot of the research that Jade and I are working on now, trying to determine that exactly. So, you know, I think about that. We're probably not going to put a meats lab in a second grade situation and have students processing animals. But you know, raised bed, school gardens, farm to table, farm to school type of programming seems to make a lot of sense. We have a few schools in Georgia that have chickens and rabbits. We have a couple of elementary schools have goats and cattle, and I'm not sure that that's a good idea. We're still trying to figure out how that can be safely implemented. Almost, and I'm not sure that I'm conceptualizing this correctly, but I think of K through five as the consumer side of agriculture, with a heavier focus on health, nutrition, where your food comes from. You know, we've had different buzz terms over the years, like ag literacy and ag awareness. And I think that K-5 is really good on for the healthy eating and where your food comes from, especially plant-based. Middle school is more exploratory, starting to look at the careers, and high school is more on the production side of agriculture. Now, that's just Jason Peake's take on it, but it looks to me it's going to evolve something like that.
I think that's certainly helpful to at least give us a starting point, Dr. Peake, because, you know, certainly in Georgia, you've spent some more time thinking about that than what maybe some of us across the country have. And so that's a good place to start with that. Jade, you have some of your experience around farm to school, ag in the classroom, and kind of led you into this project. So tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, well, I guess I'll also back up a little bit and say that I'm also not originally from Georgia. I'm from Minnesota, and it was in Minnesota that I started. Dr. Haddad is away, but you're from Minnesota too, right?
Yeah, I taught in Minnesota.
Okay, yeah.
As Jade's been talking here, she mentions a state and Becky says she's been from there. And the reason is Becky is running from the law and she has to move and she has to go to all the different states. She's part of the witness protection program, which she's failing at because she's on this world renowned podcast and everybody knows where she is now.
Yeah. Brian busts me every other episode.
Well, maybe I'll join you. I was going to say, maybe I'll join you. I've lived in a lot of states. I'll list them off here because this is related to all of my experiences, but I started working on a vegetable farm in Minnesota. And I really kind of fell in love with the idea. At the time I was already in college studying nutrition and I was really into the community nutrition, community garden track. And so I just wanted to get some experience. And I actually went to school in Texas. So, you know, every year I would fly home back and forth between Minnesota and Texas. And in Texas, I worked a lot with the food bank and community garden programs, hydroponic farm, a couple other things. That led me to work in Alabama. And I worked on a rural, I worked on an organic vegetable farm in rural Alabama. And there I did a lot with helping develop a farming health and nutrition track, which unfortunately doesn't exist anymore simply because of COVID. I'm sure that's not a surprise there. But there, I would work on the farm, take all the produce home, and then I would distribute it out to the community members. And then I also worked with some older adults and elderly folks, but one of my, I guess, pride and joys was helping develop a cooking class for kids. And so there it was, teaching them about, you know, here's this produce that we literally got from the farm this morning, and showing them how to transform it. And I remember a moment when a kid said, I think we had been trying different vegetables for several weeks now, and it was the winter, so we had a whole bunch of just lettuce and things that we'd already tried still. And I said, all right, well, you know, what do you want to try next week? I don't want to do the same thing, but I want to know, you know, I want your feedback. What do you want? And one of the kids was like, you know what, Miss Jane, I want to try some Brussels sprouts. And I was just so proud that they wanted to try something new, because they said, you know, before you, I never would have tried any of this, but you know, every week we make something and it's good. So, you know, I want to keep trying new things. So that was really heartwarming and inspiring. And then, like Dr. Peek said, he recruited me. And so I've been doing a little bit less hands-on on the farm, on the garden, but more so, as he's been talking about, kind of on the backside and the research, and moving into talking with teachers about how to incorporate that into their classroom. And that's really what led me to, I guess, Oregon, is because when I got to Dr. Peek, I said, hey, I want to be the executive director of a nonprofit that teaches kids about agriculture, food, and nutrition. And I think that being the ED of Oregon Ag in the Classroom is about as close as you can get to that goal. So I'm really excited to continue helping teachers incorporate those materials into their classroom and keep teaching about school gardens.
So with that, Jade, it's a great setup. That is an exciting history, and I really appreciate you sharing that with us. So this particular thing we're going to be talking about today is school garden integration among Georgia elementary ag ed teachers. So what'd you find here? What's this all about?
Yeah. So we, like Dr. Peek said, elementary ag ed isn't really very defined. And I'll be honest, when I got to Georgia, I didn't even really know exactly what agriculture education was, because even though I lived in all these states that had a lot of agriculture going on, it wasn't something that was a part of my school experience. And so when he said, well, we're going to, you know, define what that means, I was kind of like, okay, well, I mean, I guess it's just agriculture education at the elementary level. But it's, you know, it's not, we had to figure out, well, what does it really look like? And of course, K to five, they learn a little bit differently than older kids. So what we really looked at was, as called the Green Tool, which is a model to help teachers incorporate, really think about how to integrate very sustainably the school garden into the classroom. And that model encourages people and teachers and individuals to think about four big aspects. So resources and support, this can look like administration or funding or professional development. Physical space is the second component. So really thinking about, you know, how is the actual garden set up? Is it close to the classroom? Is it close to a water source? Then of course the student experience. So it's, you know, well and good to have the garden, but if it goes unused or the janitor mows it down, that's an issue. So it needs to really be a part of that student experience, and they're getting hands-on time in the garden. And then the final component is the school community. And that is kind of looking at how the garden is integrated with the external components. So volunteers, school nutrition, volunteer events. Dr. Peek, did you want to add on to that?
No, I think you did a good job summarizing it there. It's like just to tell you guys how new this is and how tough it is. In Georgia, if we try to identify the ag teachers, I can pretty easily do that by saying, well, they teach agriculture in a middle school or high school, and they receive extended year pay. And so that pretty easily can identify about 550 teachers in the state of Georgia. When it comes to elementary ag ed, we have some schools implementing different models because the state did not define the model. So it's really at the school level that the model is defined. And so we have one art teacher in Atlanta who teaches ag for one period a day. And so the question is she an elementary ag ed teacher? Well, I would say she sort of is, but it's hard to define. Most, it looks like the emerging model that's going to win, the model that's most successful, is an elementary school with a lot of them have the what they call the exploratory wheel. That's what we call it in Georgia, where they go to art and to music and to maybe a computer science class or something like that. Well, ag becomes an exploratory wheel, and there is a designated elementary ag ed teacher who only whose only job is to teach agriculture all day. And so I see other states coming along with this right now. You know, Arkansas, Mississippi, Missouri is into it. Actually, Dr. Deb Berry there in Florida is working on this as well. And so we have other states that are coming along. And I think all of us are trying to see exactly what that's going to look like and how we're going to define it. And it's not as easy as it seems.
That's very true. I know talking with Deb, some of the challenges we got here in Florida, and it's exciting. I think that one of the big things is it's very flexible, and one of the hard things is it's very flexible, so you got to figure out what you want to do to have that local champion. So when you talked about, say, the school gardens, how are they using them, or why were these part of the school curriculum? What's the why to all this?
So the why to the four components?
Yeah.
Yeah, so this was actually a model, and I skipped over some of the more important parts, I guess. I explained what it was that we implemented, but I didn't exactly explain what we did. So Dr. Kate Burt out of, I believe it's Teachers College in Columbia, had come up with this model. This was part of her dissertation research, and they did, now I couldn't tell you the exact methods, but essentially they came up with these 19 components divided among four categories as being the most essential to having a well-integrated school garden. And well-integrated means that it's sustainable over the long term. Ideally, the more of these components that you have, the more integrated and sustainable your garden will be, and it will be established as part of the school culture. And that's important because the more recognized that it is as a part of the school culture, the more that you can impact children and really hone in on why this is an important learning tool and topic being the garden. So what we did is we asked teachers, you know, which of these 19 components do we have? So we essentially took the tool and turned all of the components into questions and asked them, do you have this component? And how confident are you that you believe that, you know, this is true of your garden? And then we scored it, tallied it. This was, of course, following the article, you know, how they scored and tallied things. And then that broke down into a scale of if you fell between these two numbers, you know, you had a low integrated garden. If you fell between these numbers, it was a moderately integrated garden. And if you had all of these components, it was a highly integrated garden. Yeah. It was a fun research project. I think my dissertation was primarily qualitative. I think if I, you know, had more time to really focus on this, I would have really wanted to go in and see, okay, so what do these moderately integrated versus highly integrated gardens look like, and vice versa.
And if I can follow up on that, I'll just make a comment, something I've noticed with teachers, and especially as we're bringing in teachers who are they're not trained traditionally as ag ed teachers. But one thing I've noticed that's really, I think, important from Jade's work, and it emerged as we went through, is there are a fair number of teachers, ag teachers, who want to carry the load on their shoulders. It's like they want to be in charge of the school garden and be responsible and do all the things and raise the money and make it happen. And you know, there's great satisfaction in that. You know, there's a lot of meaning to be derived from doing all that work. But one thing that Jade's research highlights that I think is great is, it's like, look, if you are the ag teacher and you put all the weight on your shoulders and then you leave that school, which you will do eventually, in some form or another, you're going to leave eventually, and you're carrying all the weight, it just falls apart because there's no one there to continue it. You know, no one can take on that much. But what Jade really saw there is a well-integrated garden brings the entire school together. You know, you've got support from a lot of places, and really the ag teacher's role is to facilitate a well-integrated garden, not to carry the whole load on their shoulders, so that when they leave down the road, there's still a structure that carries it forward after their departure. And I think that's a really important thing for teachers to realize. And maybe when I was a young teacher, I didn't do that. I took great pride in carrying the load myself. And that was that's something I would change if I went back in the classroom.
Oh, and I'll actually just add on to that. Dr. Myers, you mentioned earlier a champion, and that was exactly how it's phrased in a lot of the research and just talking to teachers too. And Dr. Peak really just summarized this very well, but every garden needs a champion to get off the ground. But after that, it really needs a team to be sustainable in the long term.
I think that's a great message and a great take home point for us. And as we think about ag teachers and pre-service teachers that are listening to this, Jade, what's the so what? And what can your work share or provide to pre-service and our in-service teachers that are listening to this?
Yeah, I'm really glad you asked me that, because my key point number three is the so what. So I have it written down already. I think one of the easiest take-home messages to really share is that it's really important to make a plan. I talked about those four big domains earlier. So resources, physical space, student experience, and school community. And I think if you're thinking about your garden plan, asking yourself questions, what resources do I have? Do I have a school administrator that can help me find funding? Or alternatively, you know, is there a funding source? So really making sure that you have your resources base covered. And then et cetera down the line, you know, if I have a chance to plan the garden, how can I plan that so it's most effective for my classroom? If I live in Oregon or Alaska, for example, do I need a different type of garden? Can it just be containers in my classroom? If you're talking about student experience, how can I make sure that the students are actually getting their hands in the dirt and really having that experience so they can make those connections? And then finally, you know, how can I involve outside people? If your garden is massive, for example, we talked to a teacher that said she had a huge plot, maybe an acre or two in her school. You know, does she have parent volunteers that can come in and help? So I think, again, to summarize, the big takeaway is to make a plan and make sure that you have resources, people, student experience, and those outside people really helping your garden succeed, so that if you have to take a leave of absence or you do leave, it can continue to remain and continue to be a legacy for that school.
I think one of the things I appreciate so much, just having previewed this a little bit and thinking about the school garden we had when I was teaching, just this emphasis on sustain and integrated and sustainable. And I think when you say make a plan, it's like, well, we had a plan. Like, we had to have a plan. We were all great. Like, clearly we had a plan, but we didn't have a plan. Yeah. We had a lot of support, but we didn't have a plan. And I think I would encourage listeners to go back and actually take a look at the article, because when we talk about those 19 components, when we talk about that green framework, when we talk about kind of what does that plan actually involve, there's a great roadmap here of things to think about and things to process to kind of identify, do I actually have a plan?
Yeah. And I think if you're thinking about this as like a matrix, almost those four major domains, of which I said there are 19 components, you know, maybe those go down one side and then across the top is that actual timeline. I did a school garden training once kind of to supplement this research and just to help think about it differently and get to meet some teachers. And one of the best activities we did is, okay, what's your short-term goals? So 0 to 3 months, medium-term goals, you know, 6 to 9-ish months, and long-term, so after a year. And to reach those goals, what do you know? And what do you need to know? And who do you need to know? So I think really making sure that that timeline and the planning for those major domains comes into play on your plan so that it is logical and it's a functional plan too.
Well, I think too, Jade, one of the messages that I hear you saying is that it doesn't have to be a one size fits all. And so Make sure that you build your program, your school garden around the resources and the opportunities that you have, and don't be looking next door. Don't look at a neighboring program to gauge your school garden, because they have different needs and different resources at hand.
Yeah, exactly. And I'll also just add in that I wrote an article for the Ag Mag. I think it's in the May to June issue that it's talks about farm to school, but the idea is the same, is that it's 8 key steps to starting your farm to school program. And it's very general, but it's also specific. So it leaves room for you to kind of plan the garden in the way that makes the most sense for your school and your external community.
Yeah. And if I can add one thing to what Dr. Ritalik just said, You know, maybe this podcast will get to the ears of a new elementary ag ed teacher who's not traditionally trained, but ag ed is so local. I mean, we talk about local program success and meeting the needs of your community and community base. I wish so badly we could create a generic formula and say, here, just take this and apply it. Because that's what teachers ask for. These young teachers that are new to elementary ag ed, they're like, okay, tell me what my school farm should look like. It's like, that's quite a question. You know, that takes a lot of learning your community and study. And so I hate giving the answer, well, it depends. But what Dr. Ritalik said there is really important. These should be community, locally based programs that should meet the needs of that community. And there is no one size fits all.
Well, that is a great way, I think, to wrap up a great conversation. I appreciate this going through, that there's a lot of great work. We're looking here at Elementary Ag. Check out the stuff that's happening there with Dr. Peek and his crew there at the University of Georgia on this. Definitely the leaders nationally on this area. And Jade, thank you for your conversations. We're looking here around school gardens. There's a lot of great stuff in here to really check this out. And one of the things that really jumped out at me was this idea overall for all ag teachers is it takes a champion to get started, but it takes a team to be sustained. And I think that's what we always want. And I think that's the thing that we need to make sure we're looking at. And you provide us a great framework. And I encourage folks to go check that out with all of the other things here on social media. So Jade, Jason, thank you so very much for being with us here today on Alpellets. I look forward to the continued conversation online.
Well, thank you for having us.
Yeah, thanks so much, Dr. Myers. Enjoyed it.
We hope you've enjoyed this episode of Owl Pellets. Check out our website for more information on this topic and to learn more about our guests. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram to stay connected. And be sure to subscribe to our podcast so you'll never miss an episode. For Mike and Becky, this is Brian here by the Owl Pellets saying thank you, and we look forward to seeing you again on another episode of Owl Pellets, Tips for Ag Teachers.